Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good to be in Sunday school. Amen. Won't be too long this morning. I'm not going to teach anything earth-shattering, but something that's been said several times lately in the prayer room, Brother Baggett's mentioned it, and I think Brother Chris, about prayer. We need to know how to pray. And I know over in Romans it says, you know, we pray that like we don't ought or whatever it says. I can't quote it. But anyway, that's talking about sometimes when you just reach a point where you don't know what to say. And that's when the Holy Ghost starts praying. That's when you let the Holy Ghost take over and start praying. But there's some things this morning I want to talk about just briefly that I hope will help us to pray and how to focus on our prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, or truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. What they hold and have and experience, that's their reward. That ain't the one I'm looking for. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Not only go in your closet, shut the door. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. It doesn't hurt to ask, but he knows what you have need of before you ask. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We'll finish this reading. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are praying to a God in secret in your closet that has everything in control. All power, the kingdom, glory, forever is his. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about the 5 points of prayer. And there are undoubtedly many more, but these are just some we're going to cover a little bit this morning. And reading that scripture, it was obvious, some people, especially of that day, and even of today, some religious leaders, they want to be seen as holy. And the way they do that or try to manifest that is to be seen in public praying to get attention. And Jesus saw right through that self-righteous prayer. I mean, it was nothing. And if you'll notice, those Pharisees, all through the ministry of Jesus Christ, he never condemned what they believed. He condemned their hypocrisy. He called them hypocrites. He didn't call them unbelievers. He called them hypocrites. And that's what he was doing. He taught the essence of prayer is not a public style, but private communication with God. That is what prayer is. And praying so others will notice is only indicating that your audience is not really God, that it's somebody else. But he saw right through that, and he was telling them, that's not the way to pray. And he said, by the same token, don't pray with vain repetition. It's not wrong to come to God with the same request more than once. That's not what he's saying, because Jesus himself, he even taught about persistent prayer. And he taught us, bring it to him, bring it to God, bring it to the Father. There's nothing wrong with that. What he condemned was the shallow repetition of words from an insincere heart. That's what he was talking about. There's an old saying, familiarity breeds. Does anybody know that besides me? Familiarity breeds contempt. Pretty soon, you get so used to it, it becomes routine, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. And you're sort of just occupying time and space. But he condemned that. So the first thing we want to talk about this morning is perspective. We need to pray from God's perspective. We need to get it, and we need to see it from God's perspective when we pray. And I guess also we need to get in and live in God's dimension, so to speak. We need to lose ourselves and start getting in his realm, in his dimension, to communicate with him. And Paul even said, you should have the mind of Christ. And if anybody was in God's dimension, Jesus Christ was. Well, guess what? The same spirit that he had dwells in you this morning. Amen. We need to get it and see it from God's perspective. We need to get in and live in God's dimension. And if we do this, you're going to see things through your spiritual eyes and through your prayer that your natural eyes simply cannot see. And our natural eyes, of course, they only perceive what we physically view. But I tell you, through God's eyes, you can see so much more. You know, you say, well, he hasn't shown me anything. I haven't had this great epiphany or whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you something. God can let you see through his eyes by touching your mind and touching your heart and letting you understand your situation or what you're praying about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what I want to see. I want to see the eternal things. I want to see what it's going to take or what's necessary to help me get to my hope, which is heaven. Amen. We need to pray and to seek after the supernatural. We wasn't converted by the natural, folks. You were converted and saved by the supernatural, and you can't live by the natural things. Of course, we do live by food and water, but you're going to live by the spiritual things eternally. Amen. We have to live by the spiritual things. You can have productive lives spiritually, living and praying in God's perspective. I'm going to tell you what, the spiritual will affect the natural. Think about the loaves and the fishes. The little boy on the hillside with such a great multitude. And he said, well, what do we have? Well, we got five loaves and two fishes. And I looked that up a little bit, and they said it was not uncommon in big gatherings like that for people who fished and had bread that they would take it and they would sell it to make money among the people, obviously wanting to sell two fish and five loaves. So he was there. The little boy was there with that, and you know the whole story. I don't have to go into all that. I'm going to tell you what. The natural can be affected by your spiritual. So we need to be seeing it through God's eyes, through his perspective. I tell you, I want to partner with God. I want to partner with the invisible. Amen. I want to see things from God's perspective. I tell you what, and you know, a lot of times we have questions in our mind about things, but I thought about Mary. And you think about a little virgin girl that was approximately 15 or 16 years old when the angel came to her and said, guess what? Through you, the Son is coming. His name is going to be Jesus. And you know the story. What did Mary say? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Not born through me. Old habits die hard. Pam's taught me to pick it up when I knock it down. But she said, no, not through me. I'm too young. Furthermore, I don't think I want the embarrassment of having a child, especially trying to tell people I've never known a man. You know what Mary said? So be it unto me. Oh, Lord, when you speak to me and you let me see through your eyes, through my spiritual eyes, let me be willing to say, oh, Lord, just so be it unto me. Oh, God. I thought about Elisha. The king of Syria was warring against Israel, and the man of God was warning Israel of his every move. And the king of Syria thought somebody was betraying him. And he was asking questions. He said, what's going on? Well, somebody told him, said God is telling the prophet Elisha, and he's warning him about what you're fixing to do to Israel. He said, furthermore, in the privacy of your bedroom, you're not safe. He's telling them what's going on. Well, you know what the king did? He loaded everything up. He went to the city and compassed the city about. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered to the servant. This was probably Gehazi. He's not mentioned by name. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I can just see old Gehazi, if that's him, looking at Elisha, looking at himself, looking up there. Well, I might not have been good at math, but there's two of us, and this whole city is circled with horses and chariots and soldiers. What chance do we have? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. I didn't read fire in the first group. Round about Elisha. In the Bible, the fire is described two different ways. Either a consuming fire or a refining fire. I don't think the fire in them chariots and them horses and all that was going to be a refining fire. Brother, he fixed to consume somebody if he need to. But I tell you, faith reveals that God is doing more than we can realize through our sight alone. Old Gehazi got to see, and like I said a while ago, God may not show us chariots of fire and horses to give us our answer. But I tell you, he can open our spiritual eyes and help us to understand, Lord, now I see it the way you see it. And that's how I want to pray through God's perspective. Spiritual resources are in you, even if we can't see them. It is within you in the form of the Holy Ghost. If we can't see God working in our lives, I tell you, our problem is probably with our spiritual eyesight. It's not with God's power. So we need to see it from God's perspective. We must pray with perspective. Pray expecting victory. The next thing is being prayerful. We can't be guilty of praying only when we are in need. Praying when there is a tragedy or when there's something we're facing, decide we're going to get down and pray. I thought about the many times that that people will bring lawsuits and all kind of stuff against public places that try to display the Ten Commandments or try to pray in the separation of church and state. And I don't know how you feel about that, but isn't it kind of ironic that when a tragedy strikes a school, I haven't read of one lawsuit that has been filed when they prayed at Columbine. I didn't read of one lawsuit that was filed at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I'm going to tell you something. When the chips are down, people don't mind praying. But, Lord, I want to be prayerful all the time. Scripture talks about praying without ceasing. No, I'm not going to kneel down 24/7. You're not either. God doesn't expect that. But I tell you, a prayerful attitude He does expect. Amen. We need to be praying, not only when we are in need. We need an active prayer life. Amen. We need to be prayerful in our thanks to God for nothing else other than what He's done for us and how He's blessed us. Just like we sang this morning, I am blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need to be prayerful in our decisions in life. I tell you, when opportunity meets your destiny and it's time to make a turn, we need to be petitioning God so we know which way to go. You know, and a lot of times we don't understand what's going on concerning our situation in life. Just keep praying. I thought about my old GPS. You turn that thing on and you put where you want to go. And it'll tell you, well, you get on a stretch of, that thing won't talk to you. You're just driving down the road. What does that mean? You must be on the right road. But don't you worry. When it comes time to turn, turn in 300 feet, exit so-and-so. She's going to tell you exactly where to go. And you can make your own determination why they use the lady's voice. I don't know. Before she came along, I was listening to a lady's voice. And she was usually right, too. But even though it's not talking to you, don't give up. Keep praying. You're on the right road. But listen when they do speak. Amen. Amen. We need to practice what I call the push principle. Pray until something happens. An answer will come. And I've told you many, many times, He's told me no, and He's told me to wait sometimes. But an answer will come. Keep praying until something happens. Don't ever stop being prayerful. The third thing, develop your potential. And as I was studying this, I thought about something I think I'd heard it here a while back. I'm not sure. I might have been talking to somebody. I don't know. But it was about the koi fish. Does anybody know what the koi fish is, the Japanese koi fish? And I think this happens to more than one animal in the animal kingdom. But the Japanese koi fish, he will adapt to his environment. You put that koi fish in a fish bowl or just an average size aquarium, that little fella won't grow to about 4 inches is about it. You put him in one just a little bit larger, a larger tank, he gets up 8, 10, 12 inches long. In the wild, the koi fish will grow to approximately 42 inches on an average. He's affected by his environment. And I tell you, we need to pray for God to increase our spiritual potential. We've all heard the old saying, well, he has potential, or she has potential. Well, I'm going to tell you something about potential. Having potential and developing potential is two different things. You got to develop the potential inside of you. And I tell you, with God's help and effort on our part, we can do great things for God. We can grow to our full potential. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, the Bible doesn't say, and I couldn't find anything about her sorrow, why she was saying that or anything. But have you ever heard anybody use the excuse, well, I didn't have so-and-so. I was so-and-so when I was growing up. They dropped me when I was a little feller, and that's why I'm like I am. Listen to what Jabez did. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez wanted to grow. Jabez wanted better than what he had. Amen. In the prayer of Jabez, he asked God to do, number one, to bless him. Number two, help him in his work by extending his lands. And I promise you, Jabez had a pure motive. He didn't have a bad motive or a wanting self aggrandizement or anything. He had a pure motive.